Gentlemen, one of the aspects of Purim is that we have Kabbalah Satorah, as I'm sure you guys are aware of, right? It says in the Gemara, that the Astira, Umran Shabbos, Heches, it says there that there's a Astira. On the one hand, it says that Bnei Yisrael said Nasa Benishma. So they were willing, they were dying, they couldn't wait to accept the Torah. On the other hand, it says that Hashem was kafalim har kegigis, that Hashem took the mountain, Har Sinai, and put it over their heads and said to them, if you accept the Torah, great. If not, sham tiyek vuraspa, here's where you're going to be buried, under the mountain. So it's a stira. The Gemara says that that's what the pasuk means, kavalim harchagigis, but the chora, that's a theory to what it says in the pasuk explicitly, nasa v'nishma. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, the Gemara doesn't ask the steer, it's a question on the Gemara. Okay, let's just start with the Gemara. The Gemara on Peiches and Shabbos says that the Torah is the diuk in the pasuk that it says that Hashem was kofar leim har kegigis. Hashem took the har because it says that Bnei Yisrael were tachtis ha-har. What does tachtis ha-har mean? Under the mountain, right? So just means that they were on the foot of the mountain. But in the drasha, Chazal say that they were mamish under the mountain because Hashem lifted up the mountain, put it over Bnei Yisrael's heads, and said, if you accept the Torah, great, and if not, here's where you're going to be buried. Okay, faced with a choice like that, right? Like the Godfather, I'll make an offer that you can't refuse, right? Give him an offer that you can't refuse. And so they accepted it. And the Gemara continues that Mikan Moidah Rabba Le'araisa. From here, there was a great excuse that Bnei Israel had whenever they didn't accept the Torah, whenever they didn't do the mitzvahs properly, they had a great excuse, which is what? We were forced into it. What do you want? We were forced. You put a gun to our heads, and you said we have to accept the Torah. So now you're complaining. Now you're complaining that we didn't listen to you. What do you want? You're forcing us. You forced us to do it. And the Gemara continues and says, until Purim, the famous pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Kimu, they accepted upon themselves. Again, Parshat Pshat is they accepted upon themselves Purim. And the Gemara says, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. They accepted. They fulfilled that which they had already accepted. By Purim, they accepted the Torah willingly. Okay, so that's what it says in the Gemara. Again, the Gemara says Hashem had to force Bnei Israel to accept the Torah. He picked up the mountain and threatened them to destroy them if they didn't accept it. That's what it says in the Gemara. And on Purim, that was rectified because on Purim, they accepted the Torah me'ava. They accepted the Torah back from complete with love, and now it is binding. For forever, it's now binding. Why? Because of the miracle of Purim. So what? They didn't have miracles until Purim? The miracle of Purim, that's what made it. There was tons of miracles. Every single day, there were 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Open miracles. They crossed the Yarden. The mountain was on top of their heads. What greater miracle do you need? What does it mean, the Gemara? It doesn't make sense, the Gemara. And we know that the pasuk says Nasa Menishma. The pasuk says that the Bnei Yisrael jumped at the opportunity to accept the Torah. They said Nasa Menishma. How could the Gemara say that we had to be forced? Isn't that the whole beauty of Mount Sinai, that we came and we said Nasa Menishma, we can't wait to do it, where we accept it wholeheartedly? What's going on over here? It's a mamash pelet gemara. So there's lots of different explanations. What I'm going to give you is basically what the Maharal has to say, and it's relevant also to what we're going to talk about in our parsha as well. In our parsha, the luchos are destroyed. Okay, Bnei Yisrael lose the luchos. The luchos, what was the difference between the first luchos and the second luchos? Okay, and then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and he gets the second luchos. There are vast differences between the first luchos and the second luchos. The key difference between them is Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh. What do I mean by that? It says in Chazal that by the first Luchos, it says that the Ktav, the writing, was Chirut. Sorry, Charut ala Luchot. Charut ala Luchot. Charut means what? What does Charut mean? I mean, huh? It means engraved. It means it was chiseled out of the Luchos. Chazal, though, have a drasha. Okay, with that one, you know, before we get into the drasha. Chazal say in the Midrash that the Luchos were engraved. It's in the Gemara Megillah, if you guys have seen it in the beginning of the Gemara. It says that it was engraved through and through. It was all the way through. Right? So the Aleph was chiseled out all the way through the stone to the other side. Okay? Good. That means if I'm holding up the Luchos and it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you can see the Aron Kodesh looking through it. It's chiseled all the way through. Okay? But there was a miracle. What was the miracle? The miracle is if I would flip the Luchos around, what should it look like now? It should be backwards, but it wasn't. It wasn't backwards. You could see it still. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Not only that, the Gemara says, if I'd only turn it 180 degrees, sorry, 90 degrees, this was 180, I turned it, flipped it all the way around. If I turn it only 90 degrees, so now you're looking at the side, what should you see? Just stone. But no, you would see there also. I know Hashem Lekecha. All sides, it was engraved all the way through. Obviously impossible, okay? The Gemara says more than that. The Gemara says that not only was the Aseres HaDibros engraved in the Luchos, the entire Torah was also engraved in the Luchos. The entire Torah. You would be able to look at the Luchos and see the entire Torah there. Not only the entire Torah, written Torah, the entire Torah Shebaal Peh also. The entire Torah Shebaal Peh was on the Luchos. Now, what does that mean? Again, could say a miracle engraved really tiny letters, like the fine print in in your cell phone bill. Pashup Shad is not what it means. What it means is that B'nai Yisrael had reached a level of purity and almost nevuah to the extent that they could just see the written Torah and all of the Torah Shebaal Peh was explicit, as if it's explicit, as if it was told to them explicitly. That's the level of high level of neshama that they had received, that they had achieved by Har Sinai. And essentially, that's the other drasha on this exact same pasuk. The pasuk says, charut on the luchos. Chazal say, don't read it as charut. Rather, read it as, anybody know? I said it before by accident. Cherus. What does cherus mean? Freedom. That they were free of the Yetzirah, free of death, free of everything. They had achieved a level where they were completely back like Adam Rishon before the sin. Chirut, they were free. They were free of the Yetzirah. And they were able to mamish, therefore, see in the Torah Shebaktav, see the Torah Shebaktav. So the two drushes go together. Pashup Shah and the Chirut, that it's engraved through and through, means that it actually penetrates all the way through. And that's also essentially what it was also in terms of our receiving the Torah. The Torah also penetrated us all the way through. And therefore, we would just see the Torah Shebaktav, it would already be explicit, the Torah Shebaktav. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. We did the sin of the Kefa Eagle, of the Chere Eagle, and he throws it. He breaks it, breaks the Luchos, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu breaks those Luchos, that's lost. First of all, we lost our level already through doing the Chere Eagle. But then we lose that. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up to Har Sinai and makes a new Luchos, that's missing. That's missing. There were still miracles with the second Luchos also, but that's missing. We don't have the Torah Shebaal Peh explicitly on the Luchos anymore. We're not on that Darga anymore. We lost that Darga. We lost that level. And that's one of the expressions of that is that now we have Torah Shebaal Peh. Now we have to work hard to understand the Torah Shebaal Peh. We have to work to understand it. The Midrash Tanchuma itself asks, what did they not accept? What part of Torah did they not accept that they needed to be forced to accept? Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichtav, that's easy. It's Torah Shebaal Peh which is hard. Pesach Bar Peh is hard, first of all, to be Mekayim it. 613 mitzvahs. How hard is it to be Mekayim 613 mitzvahs? Not so bad. It's when we get into the details and the laws and all the different details and every single aspect of our lives. Where does that all come in? That's from the Torah Shebal Peh. That's where it becomes hard. But also because it's harder to do it, to learn it, to know it. Like we always, like the Gemara says, the Talmud Bavli is mevubal, it's confusing. It's choshech. It's very hard. It's very hard to sort through. It's very hard to understand the Torah Shebal Peh. It wasn't always. By the first Luchos, it was easy. By the second Luchos, it was hard. Now, says the Mara like this. What happened on Purim? What does it mean that they accepted it because of the Nes of Purim? The Nes of Purim, what does that mean? So it says the Maral like this. Says the Maral, to answer all the steer also, not like the way Chazal said. What does it mean that they were forced, but they also said Nasim and Ishmael? What does that mean? How does that make sense? Says the Maral, a beautiful idea. He says, it wasn't literal that Hashem lifted up the mountain and put it over their heads and said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to kill you, like a mafia boss. What it meant was they had such clarity. They had such a revelation of Hashem's presence that they understood by themselves. There's no choice here. This is MS. Of course Torah is true. I'm seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm exposed to God. What is there to have a doubt about? Of course I'm going to accept the Torah. It was so obvious in the face that they screamed out, Nasa ben Ishmael. You see Hashem so clearly, how can you say no? How can you say no? And therefore, they said Nasa ben Ishmael. They weren't forced. This is the same idea, guys. The mountain being over their heads and them saying Nasa ben Ishmael is not a stira. That is the result of the mountain being over their heads. It was so obvious to them, it was so clear to them, because of the miracles that they were witnessing every second, that they said that they had to say Nasa and Nishma. How could they not say Nasa and Nishma? Now, when is that true, though? That Kabbalah is genuine, right? That's a genuine Kabbalah, but it's only as long as what? It's only as long as you still see those miracles. But if you lose that sight of those miracles, so then that whole inspiration goes away, right? The moment that you're put into Gullus, the moment that you're put into the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the entire time that they lived in the Beis HaMikdash, they had miracles constantly. They constantly had open miracles. Like we said before, they had open miracles. As long as you have open miracles, you're seeing every day. You can walk into the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim Shecht the Korban, they throw the pieces of meat on the Mizbeach, and a lion of fire literally descends from the skies and eats the Korban. You don't have any doubt of your Emunah at that point. There's nothing to doubt, right? It's right in your face. It's right in your face. The whole existence of Klai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael was a miracle. The whole existence is a miracle. As long as we lived with open miracles, the Torah was binding. Because it came to us, we were quote unquote forced, like the Gemara says. We were forced because of the open miracles that we were seeing. So we forced ourselves. As long as we had those open miracles, we still were forced. That's what the Gemara says, Moda Rabba Me'araisa, that we have here a great excuse why we don't keep the Torah. When we're in Gullus. When we're in Gullus, we have a great excuse to not accept the Torah. We only accepted the Torah when we saw clearly, when we saw you, Hashem. But now we don't see you. Now you're hidden from us. Now we have all sorts of snakes, all sorts of doubts. We have a malik, right? A malik is all about doubt. We have all sorts of doubts. Now what do you expect? Now, how do you expect us to keep the Torah now? How do you expect us to keep our Muna now? We don't see you. When did that all change? Purim. By Purim. Why? What happened in Purim? Purim, we saw that even when there's no open miracle, there's always hidden miracles. Our lives are full of hidden miracles. We are constantly surrounded by Hashem's presence. Everything in our lives, all the natural, all the teva in the world, all the nature, the natural things that happen, it's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. We see that by Purim. We saw by Purim, it was in the clearest way, these events that took place over the course of 9 years. These events that happened, and it seemed just one coincidence after another, just one happenstance after another. It happened to be that Vashti didn't come to the party. Happened to be that Esther was the one chosen. Happens to be that Haman exactly was ticked off by the Jews. Happened, all these things. Happened to be that Haman built a tree 50 amos high just the night before. All these happenstances, all of a sudden you take a look at it and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not a coincidence. And the Jews picked up on the fact that there is no coincidence. You can see Hashem. There is everything that happens in your life is divine intervention. And if that's the case, then I'm always living within miracles. What did we say? We said our taina, our claim was, when we don't have open miracles, how do you expect us to keep the Torah? How do we expect us to keep our emunah? We don't see you, Hashem. The answer is no. You can see Hashem even when there aren't any open miracles. And that you see from Purim. If you just pay attention to the events that happen to you, if you look at the broader picture, you will see that Hashem's hands is in your life all the time. You'll see that. And you see that from the Purim story. And that's why they were able to go back now and accept the Torah. They accepted the Torah now, even in a place when it's Hester, even when you don't see the miracles, even then they accepted the Torah. That's the idea that we were Hadar Makabalit on Purim. And this is the concept that we're saying. We lost what we lost in the Torah Shebichtav. This is, again, it's slightly different with what the Maharal was saying, but we lost the Torah Shebichtav, the Torah Shebapeh. The Torah Shebapeh used to be explicit. It used to be the Farish. It used to be in your face. You just looked at the Luchos, you understand it. It's not true anymore. Now you have to look deeper. But that's exactly what Purim is all about. Purim is all about looking beneath the surface. Don't read the New York Times and just read what it says there. And that's what happened. This person went to that person, and Trump went and made a negotiation with Netanyahu, and they went and bombed Iran. That's not what happened. You have to add in HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Trump to make a deal with Bibi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bibi to agree with Trump, and it happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it so that the planes would go and nobody would get hurt or whatever. We have to put in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can do that. You can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the news. It takes more effort. It's harder. But you can do that. And that's exactly Torah Shebapeh. The Torah Shebapeh is there. It's just beneath the surface. You have to get beneath the surface. You need to work hard to do that. It is difficult. It is difficult. And that's what we lost with the Luchos Rishonos. Luchos Rishonos was explicit. It was the open miracle. Everything was clear. There was nothing to question. Luchos Shnios already is not clear. Luchos Shnios is already hidden, right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. Was there a great fanfare? Was there a shofar blowing that never stopped? Was there fire engulfing the mountain? No, none of that stuff happened anymore. All that stopped was for the first Luchos. Second Luchos already, all that was done with. It was hidden. It was a hidden and giving of the Luchos. The Luchos are hidden. The Torah Shebapeh is hidden. We have to work hard for it. That's exactly what Purim's all about. We have to work hard to get the Torah about that. We have to work hard for it. We have to work hard to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. But we can do it. We can see Hashem in our lives. That's what we were Hadar and Makabel in Purim. We were Makabel in ourselves to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, even when it's not clear. That's what we saw. That's what we accepted about ourselves. And that goes hand in hand with Torah about that. Gentlemen, it's not easy. We're in the home stretch, guys. We're in the home stretch. All right. Some of us have a week and a half left in yeshiva. A week and a half left in yeshiva. We're always going to be in yeshiva, but we have a week and a half left in the Tiv Aryeh, in these hallowed walls by the Kaisel, by the Kodesh Kedoshim. Very little time, and even if we're coming back, but we have Aben Hazmanim ahead of us. This is the last week and a half, week, 2 weeks of learning that we're going to have before we get, go home. This is the home stretch. And it's hard. No one doubts it's hard. Purim vibes are still in the air. Spring vibes are outside. You don't want to be cooped up in the basement. Which is, we all know it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But this is what we were Makabel on Purim. to keep Torah Shabbat Peh and to keep our Amunah strong when it's hard. That's what Purim's all about. When you have to scratch beneath the surface, when you need to find those hidden powers that you have inside of you. Every one of us has hidden kochos inside of us that we barely ever touched. We barely touched them. I just heard this story. The Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe. Where did I hear this? Was it by your mind? It might have been by your mind. The Klausenberger Rebbe went to a... If you guys heard the story, you heard the story. But it's a beautiful story either way. The Klausenberger Rebbe, we know, lost his entire family in the Holocaust. He came out, you know, with nothing. And he restarted everything. And he built tremendous institutions. And what he was able to accomplish in his life after the Shoah, after the being in Mamish Gehenna, is most people in their regular lives, without any kind of Shoah, do not accomplish even a hundredth of what he did. Sorry, it's actually mind-blowing. And one time he was starting a new institution, I don't know what it was, and he needed money to fundraise. He needed to fundraise. So he went to some guy, a gvir, and he said to the guy, I need money for this thing. And the guy said that back to him, I can't. And the Kozen Rebbe said back to him, never say I can't. Never say those words to me. He said, before the war, I thought I was a frail man. A frail person. I felt I was so frail that I had my gabbai carry my tallis and tefillin to shul for me. That's how frail I was. I thought I was. But in the Holocaust, in the camps, the Nazis forced me to carry tons of bricks on my back. Forced labor. And I did it. I carried bricks for the Nazis. Tons of bricks, way heavier than my tallis and tefillin bag. What happened? I realized something. I had a lot more strength than I thought I did. I had a lot more strength in me than I thought I did. And that's why when I came out of the Holocaust, I was able to do what I've been able to do. Because there is no such thing as I can't. You have tons more strength in you than you think you have. Never say, I can't. You can. You need to find that inner strength. You need to dig in deep and get it out. This is what we are Mekabel and Purim. This is what Makabal and Purim. This is the Torah Shabbat Peh. This is the hidden miracles in our lives. You got to scratch beneath the surface. Zohar Hashem, if we'll be Zohar to put in that effort, come out with the Zman with a strong ending, and Zohar Hashem, go into Ben Zmanim strong and be able to maintain our levels in Ben Zmanim also strong, and we'll be Zohar to live like the way it should be lived. Go ahead, everybody. Have a good job.